streaming at you live from their hidden location in their secret lair 10 miles off the beaches of the Emerald Coast. Chimichanga Talk, brought to you by Beach Bum Comics, with your host, Deadpool Speaks, and the Great Wang! And we're back for yet another day. I can't believe it that we've actually been on the air this long. We've gotten at least three more listeners this time around. And for Beach Bum Comics, it is Deadpool Speaks. And with me, as always, is the Great Wang.
The Great Wang is here.
There you go. You see, you got this thing. Let's go ahead and kick it off, right? And the internet is a flutter with what occurred yesterday, Tuesday, September 24th, my oldest son's birthday. He had the greatest birthday gift ever. I mean, Iron Man 3 comes out on his birthday, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finally premieres. Do you get a chance to see it there, Wang?
I saw part of it. I just started watching it, but then I fell asleep and I had to. Wang had to get busy, and I'm planning on watching the rest of it. But what I saw is very good.
Now it's funny because you said you fell asleep, and now remember all your angry letters directed towards Wang. So I'm going to give you my 2 cents, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. Okay, but let me go ahead and start off by saying wow. It's just wow. I was really happy with what Joss did for this particular episode. Now, he's only going to be directing the first one. Then his brother, Jed, is going to be taking over. You know, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens with this. Joss Whedon, he's always brought in something interesting with all his work. When you look at Buffy, when you look at Dollhouse, when you look at Firefly. Now, the only thing is, there's been mixed reviews coming in and out of the news. One of the things is that people are saying, well, you know what, it's not that great, it's a little lackluster, which I don't agree with. I thought it was great. From, you know, opening to the last credits, it was a fun ride.
Yeah, and you know, I saw some of the reviews of it, but I did see that the ratings, almost 12 million people tuned in to see it. So, I mean, it had definitely a big debut, and but we talked about this last week. So I'm looking forward to watching all of it and with an open mind, and we'll see how it goes through the season. You know, 1 hour dramas, you've got to be very creative on keeping the hooks in, you know,
exactly.
In this day and age of DVR where everybody will watch the 1 hour drama in 46 minutes, you've got to make sure that they're hitting those points and keeping people in the story.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people were talking about. You see, Joss would usually get his stride later into the season. He'd basically play around with it. He'd have the ability to sit there and kind of work and see what does work. He did it with Dollhouse. Because if you look at the start of that show, if you look at the pilot, that show took like 2 or 3 episodes before it really hit its stride and really picked up and kind of he found his character's voice, he found the show's voice. This one, no, because he's not going to be he brought it in. You know, he's like the doctor in a hospital giving birth to this baby. He gets it, he slaps it on the back, and you know, he lets it go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I absolutely agree. The one thing that I think is very interesting is that, you know, when you're talking about ratings, I mean, this show's going up against two, for lack of better terms, whether you like them or not, just monsters in NCIS and The Voice, and this show shows up and just pulls in 12 million people who more than likely had no interest in NCIS or The Voice. So to get that audience that says, you know what, these shows have been on the air for a long time, but I'm interested in this new show. I think that gives it a lot of it looks good because your ABC's a network where, you know, they're not known for their hits lately. So finding a show that has a unique audience that wants to see it, and they did show up last night to watch it. So let's hope that they keep watching it and that the stories, you know, keep us interested.
And it should. I mean, you know, even though the characters are going to take a little bit to develop, and they might seem a little cookie cutter right now, you know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered throughout the show. There's a lot of different things that we could go ahead. Even you know, Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Coulson, you know, his return isn't explained, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people are talking about. They're like, oh, could he be, you know, I don't know if you've heard the term LMD.
No, what is that?
Well, actually, LMD is a life model decoy. It was coined in the Marvel Universe. And what it is, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. designed robot that takes the form of a living person. So Nick Fury used to use it all the time. So the agents would put this robot in there, and they would be able to control it. Now, there was a, you know, storyline where you had body double of Nick Fury, Max Fury, seemed like to gain his own consciousness. You know, there's a lot of people yelling out saying, oh, you know, Coulson's a life model decoy. He's not human. They possess superhuman abilities. So, like, you know, the super speed, the super strength, the durability and stuff like that. And they're supposed to have, like, little nanites in their body to help them kind of repair themselves. So there was one scene in particular where they were talking about that Agent Coulson seemed to move really fast. So, you know, the fanboys are all kind of like, ooh, could this be, you know, could he be, you know, an LMD? Right. Did I say LDM earlier?
I said LDM, yeah.
Well, LDM is actually an irritable bowel syndrome kind of thing, but you know, we're not going to discuss that. It's a low dump maintenance, but and that's on the fly, baby. All right. So, either way, look, my personal opinion, I think that the show has a lot of potential. I'm really excited to see where it's going. I'm going to trust Jeb to bring this bad boy into port and make sure that it hits home with everybody. I mean, personally, I'm on board for the ride. And if I can't see it, you know, damn sure I'm going to DVR it. So that's news for me today, Wang. What do you got?
Let's see. Wang's a little upset. I get to the point where some things are too much. So they announced this casting for Fast and Furious 7. Now, I don't know what the appeal of the Fast and the Furious still has. I equate it to Police Academy movies in the 80s, Friday the 13th movies. You go into a Fast and the Furious sort of knowing what to expect. From an entertainment standpoint, they're there, but the reason I bring this up is one of my favorite actors, Jason Statham, is going to be in Fast and Furious. So it puts me in a pickle, because I like what he does. Wang and a pickle don't go together. So I like what Statham does, and I usually, anything he's in, I like, you know, Expendables or, you know, going back to Snatch, still my favorite movie almost of all time.
You like eggs.
But he's going into this, and now they dug up Kurt Russell for some reason, and unless Kurt Russell is playing Snake Plissken in the Fast and the Furious 7, I have no interest. I have no interest in watching Kurt Russell, 68, 69-year-old man, play whoever in this movie.
I'd watch it if he played Captain Ron.
See, if he played Captain Ron, that might be okay as well. I just think the Fast and the Furious movies, I mean, you know, I didn't read the script or what it's going to be about, but I'm going to sum it up for you. Let me guess what's going to happen. The old crew's getting back together for one more heist, where dead people will resurrect from the dead. Oh, this person disappeared in Tokyo or Brazil. Oh, and look, in The Rock, he's here. Oh, and Vin Diesel, he's driving a 72 Chevelle once again. You know?
I wasn't going to tell you this, but I know the working title of the movie.
Okay.
It's called Ridiculously Fast and Amazingly Furious. And I don't know, but that's what you sound like right now.
Well,
okay? Because you're talking really fast and you sound very angry.
I appreciate good art and how films come together, but I think some of the Fast and Furious scripts are written at a bar at about 1:52 in the morning
with Roadhouse playing on TBS,
Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze is beating people up, and I just think that it doesn't take much effort to do these. Again, I know plenty of people who enjoy them, that if you're a car person, of course you love the films. But you know, enough's enough.
I just don't know what I'm going to do with my pre-ordered box set of 1 through 6 of Fast and the Furious. It comes in a gremlin.
I just like a little bit more of a challenge, I guess, in my cinematic effort, you know.
Why you gotta rag on Police Academy?
Well, you know, I mean,
they have like 6 movies, man.
I think they had 7, man. I seriously do. I mean, I haven't looked it up, but you know, I mean,
don't look it up. It'll break the internet.
I'm not gonna. It'll break the internet. Nobody's Googled Police Academy 6 in a long, since Gutenberg.
he wanted to find out how relevant he still was in Google search.
Yeah, you know.
Guten, how do you spell that, Guten?
Him, you know, Bubba Smith and Bobcat Goldthwait, probably still making money off that. You know those are being shown on cheap TV in Uruguay. And again, the only good thing about The Fast and the Furious is Michelle Rodriguez shows up in these films. I don't know, you like her.
She has my support, 100%.
And the great Wang has enjoyed her as well.
I still don't understand why she hasn't won an Emmy or an Oscar. She's been snubbed, you know, so many times. She was the first $1 million baby.
I don't know what that means, but you know.
That was a movie term. Come on, man.
I knew she knew it was a movie, but I don't think, was she in it? I mean,
no, she was in Girl Fight, man. You remember, she's a female boxer, you know, kind of like, you know, giving him hell here, you know, it's. Well, whatever. Okay, so Fast and Furious 7's got you all upset, and I'm telling you, it's going to be in 3D.
I will calm down. I think it's going to be in 7D. I think it's going to be in 7D, actually.
In IMAX, but by that time it's going to be J-Max. Is it going to one-up everything? So, everybody, stay tuned for Fast and Furious 8. But,
that's all I got. That's all I got this week. I'm going to calm down. I got to go take a pill, man.
Yeah, there you go. Get some Xanax in you, and we'll be all okay.
Oh, yeah.
We have a really interesting guest today, actually, a jack of all trades, master of none. This man can be seen through multiple media facets, from merchandising to books to comics. Had a great indie wrestling career. It's just amazing. And we're honored to have him on the show today. A big hand and round of applause for Brimstone.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Although, the first thing we have to touch upon is the great Wang, huh? The Wang. The great Wang. Where'd you come up with the name? I gotta believe that's some kind of self-satisfying type of thing.
Well, yes, it is. I am a failed magician by trade. I failed miserably at it, and I never quite became the awesome Wang. I had a trick, and I meant to pull a rabbit out of my hat, and the rabbit was unfortunately dead when I pulled it out of the hat. Scared the old people, and hence my magic career ended on that day. So I'm just the great Wang. I'm not the awesome Wang or the fabulous Wang, just the great Wang.
Just the great Wang. So you didn't make it into the Now You See Me movie, I guess.
No. They didn't even call me. There was no casting whatsoever.
They didn't want to see him at all. So
I heard there was a little banter about it. I mean, I did hear about the great Wang, or that might have been the awesome Wang who took your name. That's gimmick infringement. I would definitely go after them. So
I believe it is. Yes.
Now. You know, it's great to have you on. Now, let's get started. I mean, you started early on as a child actor. You made appearances on Sesame Street and Romper Room. I mean, how do you go from that to becoming, you know, a threatening, menacing wrestler?
I never thought of myself as threatening and menacing, so I don't know. I was a kid. I was young. I did Sesame Street. I did Romper Room. I literally was on my way, you know, to doing a lot of different things as a child actor. And, you know, my parents were divorced. So, you know, that my father's weekends, you know, my mother didn't want him to take me anywhere, and, you know, my father was, you know, too busy spending time with me, which is always a good thing, I guess. At least I was loved. But I stopped acting early on, you know, as a child. So, you know, I guess I must have been angry, and then years later, here I am, I'm this big scary dude. And that's about the best way I can kind of describe it. I don't know. No. It's funny because everybody says, you know, oh, you were a nice young Jewish boy, and now, you know, you're this big scary dude. Listen, I'm still that nice young Jewish boy. I just, you know, look mean. That's about it.
Yeah, you just muzzle top with a clothesline.
Exactly. drop a leg, drop an elbow, you know, and say l'chaim. It's you know. I mean, you know, it's just because I'm taking the life from you doesn't mean that I can't say, hey, live. But anyway, I digress. But, okay, sorry about that. Yeah, so that's basically, you know, I never thought that I was going to be, you know, a professional wrestler. Matter of fact, when I got into it, I was actually kind of not goaded into it, but I was told by Sheiky, Iron Sheik, that you know, you look like you could be a wrestler. You know, I train you, and
that sounds just like him.
Yeah. Love that man to death. And he was talking to me about it at an event, and I was still in music at the time. And Bret Hart overheard, and he goes, you know, if you're looking to get involved in the business, you know, and you know, kind of bent my ear a little bit, and I bent his ear a little bit, I should say, and the rest is history. You know, I touched base with him a little bit here and there. He probably won't even remember me, you know, nowadays. I haven't spoken to him or seen him, although I will be seeing him at Alamo City Comic Con in Texas in a few weeks. So hopefully I'll be able to touch base with him and thank him for kind of directing me in the right direction. But you know, it was by accident. I was a musician. I loved music, and you know, I wasn't really thinking about doing something else. And you know, I started the wrestling, you know, because I always loved the idea of the business. And you know, all the characters at that time were larger than life. You know, they were you know, like real deal superheroes, and everybody had a backstory, and it was fun. It was big, and it was awesome. And you know, at the time I'd already toured around the world with music, and I got sick of being in a five-way marriage. So I said, at the end of the day, you know, let me try this. And lo and behold, you know, I wound up becoming Brimstone, and you know, years and years and years later, here I am. And you know, I couldn't be happier. I mean, I kind of enjoy what I do. So it was a very, very cool thing that, you know, that I kind of kept transitioning from one thing to the next. And to be completely honest, I mean, it's really something, even though some things have happened by accident and other things have happened because I pushed them to happen. You know, I've kind of modeled my career, strangely enough, after people like, believe it or not, Madonna, you know, who has reinvented herself throughout the years. And, you know, how do you stay relevant in entertainment? It's very, very difficult, and people have a very short attention span, because you guys are probably sleeping as I'm talking right now.
I went out to go get something for breakfast, and I just came back right now. So, no.
So I should start again. So, no, I'm just kidding. You know, but I just, you know, I modeled my career after people like Madonna, where, you know, she's, you know, she's, which is kind of silly, but it's true. You know, she's remodeled herself and reinvented herself after, you know, year after year after year. And, you know, every time she comes out, it's something new. You know what I mean? It's something new. It's different, but it's still Madonna. She's still Madonna. It's not like Prince, who changed his name, you know, you know, and there are reasons for that too. But, you know, there really is, you know, a reasoning behind it. You know what I'm saying? There's a reasoning behind it. So, you know, people lose interest, and you have to keep people, very, you know, you have to wrap them in, you know, you have to pull them in. You know what I'm saying? So, how do you do that? You have to continuously do new things. So this way people are interested in speaking to you and seeing you.
And let me tell you something. That's one fascinating thing about you. You say, when you say do new things, I mean, you actually mean it. You've got books, you've got sauces, I mean, you've got children's books, which, you know, a lot of people see you. And like I said, I remember you from back in the day, from wrestling and stuff like that. You had a lot of these power moves. You were kind of like a heel character, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, coming off of that and you know, long hair just kind of, you know, daunting and menacing to writing children's books.
Well, to be completely fair, I am not the one writing those children's books. That is Courtney Freeman, who is writing the kids' books, The Border Pups, although I have written a couple of the books that are in production as well. So what do you call it? But yeah, no, just look, guys, it's a character. I hate to break it to you, but wrestling is not real.
No.
What?
Did I destroy it? Did I ruin it for you? Oh, my God.
I think the Great Wang's going to need therapy. I'm sorry, Wang.
I need to take a break. I don't know if I can deal with this right now. This is such a revelation.
I'm about to get hit with a Wanginator or something. I get slapped or something. Yeah. What do you call it? It's not real, but it is staged. I hate to say it's not real. It's staged. It is real. When you're in the ring, lots of things happen. People get hurt, and there are plenty of times, more often than not, that you know, there are real things happening within the ring. So not to let the full the full illusion of wrestling kind of go by the wayside, but you know, very staged, and I am not the evil person that I tend to be in the ring. I'm very approachable. I do a lot of things with kids, and you know, all legal. And you know,
thanks for the clarification there.
You know, and at the end of the day, you know, I have kids of my own, and I try to do things that are PC. You know, I know how to skirt the edge, and I know how to do it well. And you know, we try to do things that are going to you know, that everybody can enjoy. You know, like the comic book itself. If we've got the comic book, you know, the Brimstone and the Border Hounds is the flagship brand. Now what we have is the Border Pups, kind of you know, it is a mimic of the comic. The kids' book is a mimic of the comic, so that the parents can enjoy the same characters with the kids, and the kids can learn good lessons for life, you know, life lessons, just like in the Clifford or Berenstain Bears and so forth. Am I making sense?
No, yeah. That makes perfect sense. And that's one thing about doing crossover promotions. You know, when people do that, it transitions over better and it's more successful. And now, how did you make that transition? I'm just really curious. When did you say, okay, well, you know, I'm done with the wrestling thing and I want to jump into comics? You were a musician before, wrestling, and then now comics.
Well, you know what? I never made that decision. All right, well, I'm leaving wrestling and I'm getting into comics. I mean, everything with me is kind of always interlapped and you know, kind of overlapped rather, kind of just worked that way. I have always been into art. I've always been into comic books. I used to draw when I was younger. I still try when I do have a little bit of time, which is very rare. I'll pick up the pencil. I'm actually pretty good. Pat me on the back, you know. good job. No, I would have drawn the book myself. But I just don't, one, I don't have time, and two, I don't think I'm as good as guys like Sajjad, you know, my VP and the original artist on the Border Hounds, and you know, Jeffrey Gwynn is unbelievable, who's the new artist on Brimstone and the Border Hounds, because Sajjad is going to be working on the superhero book. So you know, Jeff Gwynn actually took over pencils, and just, he's amazing. But I've always loved art and comics and so forth. My favorite, you know, growing up was G.I. Joe, which I'm really stoked because my inker is Jake Eisenberg, who does G.I. Joe and Transformers. Yeah. So I'm uber stoked. No, I'm uber stoked about that. And you know, we've become very good friends working with each other. And you know, and the Beast was my favorite character of all time. So you know, I've always you know, been involved with comics. Now, wrestling, the character itself, I figured, you know, hey, I love everything about the Brimstone character. Forget about me. I'm an idiot, you know, but the character is absolutely fantastic. So I said, you know, this can have a life, you know, of its own way after I'm gone. And, you know, I've already got licensing things in progress, you know, and all this other stuff. I said, what can we do to kind of build on it and give it more of a life? And, a comic book is the perfect transition from that. Simply because simply because, you know, the characters in the comic books are larger than life. So I figured, let me put something out there. It was, you know, talking about, like, wow, it's probably about 7 years ago when I first started reaching out to people. And I wanted to, you know, put Brimstone into, I wanted it drawn up, you know, not from fans, you know, not from somebody who, you know, is, you know, a fan, like, kind of drawing something for me and, you know, or from a little kid, you know, giving me an awesome picture, you know, that's great. And I love my fans for it, but I wanted something, you know,
solid
from an artist, from solid, right. And I wanted to say, here, show me your view. And lo and behold, I got Jacob Chabo from, he did Mighty Skullboy Army. He's also does nowadays like X-Men minis, whatever the
yes.
X-Men minis.
The X-Men minis.
Yeah, see, there you go. So you know comics. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Is this a comic book show or something? No, but...
Well, I mean, yeah. we like to consider ourselves that we touch on everything. I mean, but it's not, you know, it's not only just comics. It's about... Everything geek.
Everything geek. Old ladies? You touch on everything? I can't go there, my friend. That's a little crazy.
The older the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Wow. Well, hey, look, there is that show, that cougar, the cougar show. Have you seen it? It's unbelievably ridiculous. It scares the crap out of me. I watched it with my wife the other night, and it was one of the scariest things I've seen on television. 90-year-old woman with, like, a 25-year-old man. Like, there is nothing to gain there, bro. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
I tried to
gum job,
from reality.
Gum job is not going to work, bro. Gum job is just nasty. So, anyway, and I do not speak from experience. Actually, Wang told me about that. So,
that's right.
Anyway. But so Jacob had done up the piece, and I said, you know what, this has to be done. Jake was very busy at the time doing his thing, and he didn't have time to commit. And, you know, I reached out to a couple different people. But when I came across Sajjad, you know, he was brand new, hadn't done anything before, and I saw his work, and I said, this guy's going to be a rock star. And, you know, lo and behold, I reached out to him. He did the you know, his first version of the character, and I said, you know what, this is the guy. You know, 7 years later, here we are, where we've done, you know, grown in leaps and bounds. We've done a tremendous amount of things together, and, you know, we've immortalized the Brimstone character in not only the comic, but in the kids' books and the animated series and on sauces and seasonings and, you know, all that other good stuff that you could possibly think of. And
well, let me ask you that you know, that's a huge leap from, you know, comic books to sauces and seasonings. Now, how did that come about? Did you just, like, one day, you know, this comic book is so good, I want to taste it. You're like, you know what, let's jump into this. I'm curious. So how did that come about?
Well, Deadpool, let me tell you what this is all about. No. So we well, I've been on tour so many years of my life, you know, on and off and in and out and left and right, that I've been around the world and I've never seen a goddamn thing. So, what people don't, you know, people think, oh, you're in entertainment, that's the best job ever, and, you know, you never have to do any real work. Well, guess what, people? It's a lot of work. You know, more work than most people do. You know, the people that work, you know, 9-to-5s are, you know, they're blessed because they get to see the same office. They get to, you know, do the same things, you know, every day, and the same people and so forth. I do like to get to meet new people and see new people and travel, but when the only thing you get to see is the inside of an airplane, a car, a hotel room, and an arena / convention center, you know, every city looks the same. So, that being said, I told Eitan, which is, you know, my right-hand man, and, you know, with Hound, he's the director of operations, and he's also, you know, one of the food hounds. I said, if we're going to be doing this tour, and I'm going to be going on tour again to support the product, I said, I insist that we start doing something in order to you know, kind of see what's in each city. I said, I refuse to sit there and do nothing again. So, what do you call it? We said, well, we've got to eat. Everybody's got to eat. Why not do food reviews? We like food. I'm a big guy. I like to eat, and I know my way around the kitchen. So we started doing these food reviews actually in Chicago. 2 years ago, and we're actually in our third season of Food Hound Tidbits since. And while we're on tour doing all the different events all around the country, we actually are, you know, we go from pop culture convention to, what do you call it, to you know, eat and do food reviews. So it's a pretty cool thing. A lot of people don't have the opportunity to do that, but, you know, we like to stay busy while we're on the road. We like to eat, and it's a good reason, it's a good excuse to get to see, you know, what's in the different cities, you know. So not only do we get to actually see some stuff, we get to taste it as well. So, you know, it's a big positive. So that's where the Food Hound thing came from. And, you know, as far as the sauces and seasonings, you know, it was always something that I wanted to do. I grill a lot. I cook a lot when I am at home. And what do you call it? I figured if I ever have the opportunity to do this, this is something that I would love to do. Well, sure enough, in Ohio, it was one of those things where I was so swamped. Ohio is always very busy for us. And I was so swamped all day, and I go, I need to take a break. And Frank, my CIO, for Hound and my webmaster for entrancetohell.com, his wife was pregnant at the time, and she goes, you know, she came back with this huge bag of popcorn, and she goes, man, this is the best popcorn ever, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's a place called Popcorn Pans in the North Market, which is across the way from the convention center. Mm-hmm. So she's like, yeah, they have so many different flavors there. You got to go and check them out. I'm like, you know what? I need a break. I'm going to take a walk across the street. I'm going to go and check out this popcorn place. So, again, this long story longer, you know, so I will keep you guys bored for a long time, but it's a fun story at least. I go across the way, and I start talking to Pam, and I say, you know, I love what you're doing here. The stuff is great. We haven't done, like, a snacky Food Hound segment. You know, would you be interested in doing it? She goes, hell yeah, let's do it. So after the convention was over, because we're a glutton for freaking punishment and we have to continue to work after we're done working, we went over to the North Market, which, by the way, if you're ever in that area in Columbus, Ohio, you need to check the place out. Unbelievable foodie capital of Ohio. It's fantastic. And, you know, I went over there. We did the whole thing, and she gave us this hot, hot, hot popcorn. It was like devil's spit. Can kill you, die, I'm going to shove a stick up your rear end and you're going to like it type of thing. It was like ridiculously hot, and I tried and I said, wow, that's crazy. She goes, yeah, actually Spice Daddy made that for me. I said, what? Spice Daddy? What are you talking about? You know, so she's talking about, John Hard, who's also known as K-John, and I started inquiring. I said, what are you talking about? You know, Spice Daddy. So she's like, well, you know, he actually has a booth here in the North Market, but, you know, they sell worldwide. You know, they have a whole factory right here in Columbus, blah, 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 blah. They do the hot sauces and so forth. I said, really? So she's like, yeah. I was like, well, it's funny because I'd love to check out their stuff. So the place was closed. She brought us around. She showed me the hot sauce and everything. And I said, well, it started out. I said, you know what? Do you think that he might be interested in doing some stuff? Because a good friend of mine loves hot sauce. You know, and I think that he would be, you know, he would love to see, you know, the hottest stuff that K-John's might have. So do you think you can get us in, you know, in touch with each other? Well, she got me in touch with K-John. He knew who I was, which is great. The friend that I was talking about was Bumblefoot, lead guitarist of Guns N' Roses. And I told him, I said, you know, the two of us, you know, well, first of all, every time I'm on the road, if I see a hot sauce place, a stand, whatever, I try to see if they have something hotter than hot, because he is like ridiculous on the Scoville scale. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Scovilles. The Scovilles are, you know, just for example, is it like a jalapeno? It's like 3,500 on the Scoville scale. Well, his hot sauce now is 6.5 million on the Scovilles. Okay? That'll give you an idea of the heat and the death that's in that bottle. But, you know, regardless, I told John, I said, look, we do this thing, you know, it did turn out, by the way, that he had hotter stuff than Bumble had. So that was a positive. And I said, well, you know, we do these food reviews across the country. I love food. I love, you know, sauce and seasoning. It's something I've always wanted to do. I have a passion for it. I'd love to do this with you if you're interested in doing some kind of a partnership. He loved the idea. Bumble and I went down to Ohio. The two of us sat down with Frank as well. He had to come with us. It was, you know, it was because of him and his wife that we met him. So he came with us, and the three of us sat there for 4 days straight, came up with 17 different flavors, you know, sauces, seasonings, hot sauces, salsa, the whole nine yards. We launched on January 15th and won 7 awards so far. Wow. You know, and it's been absolutely amazing. And Bumble will never go without having the hottest hot stuff again. So I have quenched his thirst for the heat. So yeah, that was a positive. It, you know, it's funny because when we first met, he was telling me about the, you know, the Scovilles and so forth. And we're talking about years and years and years ago now. And you know, every time I'm out, I'm on tour, or I see something, I go, oh, I gotta see. This is I gotta get something that's gonna burn his rear end. And that's usually the case. People are never buying hot sauce for themselves. They're always buying it to screw with somebody they know. But anyway, so that's basically where the whole sauce and seasoning thing came from. Sorry, it was long winded, but you know, at least it's a somewhat interesting story, I would hope.
Oh, very absolutely, yeah. And our guests actually, you know, everybody's listening in now. All six listeners have an idea of exactly what the scale is, and it's you know, you hear it mentioned on the Food Network and stuff like that when they talk about ghost peppers and everything else. But I never knew that you know, it went up that high.
Oh yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
First of all, there are people, they call themselves the chili heads. And these are the guys that go around and they eat the hottest of the hot, and everything must have a ridiculous amount of heat in it. And like to a certain extent where I can't even taste the stuff. I can't trust them. I go out with these guys after we go to, because we do the food events now too. So you know, we'll go out to the events, and you know, the most notorious for screwing with people is John's wife Sue. She'll sit there, go, oh, here, Brim, you need to taste this. Oh, forget you. I'm not touching that. I know what's in there. You know, she goes, no, it's good. It's good. You're gonna like it. I said, Sue, I can't trust you because you already got me once when we first met. I'm not gonna, you know, fool me once, you know, fool me twice type of thing. And I said, you know, but no, these guys, they're the hottest of the hot. I just did about a month and a half ago, Zest Fest Midwest, which is one of the big food shows, and I did a deal with I hosted a Maxim magazine deal out there, so we did Maxim magazine was the quest for the hottest pepper in the world type thing, and there are these two guys, one who you'll love the name, especially being named Wang. This other guy is called Puckerbutt. They call him. So you know, between, you know, you put Wang next to Puckerbutt, you got something special right there.
That's right there.
You can win titles upon titles with that one. Oh, Wang is gonna kill me after this. Oh my God. What do you call it? Anyway, yeah, so we what do you call it? We have oh, now I damn near forgot what I was talking about. Oh wow. See, I got on the Wang and I can't stop thinking about anything else.
The Maxim thing.
So they had these two guys, one that I've seen at numerous events before. He is like one of those ringers that goes and it does all the contests. Well, like all the hot Scoville contests, and they call him the Machine. This guy took Bumble's sauce, did like a giant. You're supposed to take like a little touch of it, a little tiny touch. Well, this guy took a whole freaking like shot glass full of the stuff. Sucked it down, mixed it with the Abnormal, which is the second hottest that he has, mixed it together, sucked it down, then licked the damn thing, and didn't even flinch, bro. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, the guy scares me. I'm not going to lie. He scares me. I don't get scared easily. He scares me. Anybody who can do that, you know, is just, yeah, that's just frightening.
I would be so frightened just going into the bathroom after that guy.
Oh, that, you don't want to. No, I actually did that once. It was not good, not pleasant at all. Anyway, what do you call it? So these two guys were like ridiculous. They were doing, I hosted this thing for, it was like the hottest the hottest of the hot peppers that aren't even on the market yet, because it's a big story. It was actually supposed to be out this Maxim issue, the big story about it that I'm supposed to be in. It's supposed to be out for the October issue. I guess it's going to be out in the next one instead. But they are two guys that are competing for the hottest pepper, you know, for the Guinness Book of World Records, the whole nine yards. So, these other two guys, Machine and this other dude, we're going to do the hottest pepper eating contest. So, you know, at the end of the day, I hosted it, and to watch the pain on these guys' faces, it was over 8 million Scoville each pepper. Okay? Now, again, mind you that like 3,500 is what the average jalapeno is, and most people cannot handle jalapenos. Talking 8 million plus, and they ate about 20 of them each. Okay.
Oh man.
Can you imagine the pain that these poor guys were in? I've never seen this guy Machine flinch. When I tell you he looked like he was going to keel over, it was ridiculous. So, it was painful to watch. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there and I have to be careful because I'm like in their faces and I'm getting in front of them. You can't do it. You know, all that crap. And you know, doing the brimstone crap and you know, just talking smack the whole time and then, you know, like, goading them on. And, I had everybody like cheering, going crazy. It was like a cage match. It was fun. but when I tell you the one dude, not Machine, because Machine won, the other dude ran to the bathroom afterwards. Maxim actually followed him into the bathroom and got photos of him like puking his guts out. And it was horrible going in and horrible coming out. It was just nasty.
Wow.
But eight million, who the hell, why would you even want to torture yourself like that? It's just, it's horrible. So the key now, if you guys want to learn, I'll teach you a little trick. So now if you're going to eat and do any of these contests, which I'm sure one of you guys are stupid enough to do, no offense, but
that would be the great way.
I would assume that you guys would love to do something like that just because of the name value and the shock value of the whole radio deal. So, look, I know how it works. I'm an entertainment bro. I know.
This is why I bring guests on to do this kind of stuff so we don't have to. That's
Well, let me tell you, the key to doing it, if you're going to do any of these hot sauce eating contests, or not hot sauce, but like the hot wings or the jalapenos and so forth, is if you're doing anything with heat, don't stop eating. When you stop and you take a break, that's when the heat hits and you're going to be done. So what you got to do is just keep going, shovel it in, keep chewing, because once you stop, that's when the heat's going to come. So wait until you cross the finish line before you look backwards. You know what I'm saying? And that's your little hint. That's your little tip.
There you go. So our listeners, next time you guys win an award and, you know, one of those hot eating contests, you got to thank Grimstone right now. You heard it here first.
That's right. I'm telling you. And it doesn't hurt to have a little stash of milk to save your ass once you're done. milk helps you out, and Greek yogurt happens to be Bumble's favorite for cooling off the taste buds afterwards. Because sometimes that stuff, like, I'll tell you, man, it will burn the hell out of your mouth. It will burn. And never, ever, ever drink water or soda or anything right after thinking that that's going to work. It won't work. It won't. That makes it worse. That just spreads it. So, that spreads it. Yogurt, milk, will neutralize it. So I've just given you a hint. You can thank me later. And, I can't help you with the next day when it's coming out, but, at least going in, I can get that. So, anyway, hopefully I shed some light on that for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, talk to me about the Brimstone Red.
I was actually I was given a surprise when we were doing a launch party in Manhattan, and I walked in and I was told, well, guess what? We have Jack Daniels was actually in. They heard that you guys were doing the event tonight, and they wanted to do something special for you. So they created a drink called the Brimstone Red using the new Jack Daniels honey whiskey, and they also made for Bumblefoot, because it was me, Bumble, and Lush and a couple other people that were doing the event. And Lush is like one of my right hands with not only the company, but he's one of the main characters in the comic book as well. So they came up with the Brimstone Red, the Bumble Shot, and the purple boa for Lush. And when I tell you all these drinks was just off the hook. It was just ridiculous. So if you have the opportunity to check out, you know, the Brimstone Red at your local drinkery, you know, you ask them for it. And if for some reason they don't know what it is, all you got to do is just pop up entrancetohell.com and you scroll down to the bottom, click on the Brimstone Red, deal there, and it'll pop up with the recipe for it. So it's, when I tell you it is an unbelievable drink, it's sweet and it will get you into trouble. So if you want to get a girl drunk and you don't want her to know it, it is definitely a positive, let me tell you.
Further advice from our friend Brimstone, remember to direct all your angry letters towards him. And
no, you should be romancing the girl. You shouldn't have to get her drunk to get her to go home with you. So, you know.
There you go. Brimstone Red, getting guys laid since
last year.
There you go.
Last year. But, you know, it was just a really, really cool thing. And, you know, I'm in cahoots with a couple different, liquor companies that we're doing some stuff. Nothing that's kind of solidified as of right now, but, you know, since I was trying to actually do something further with Jack Daniels, but they're just untouchable. And, you know, it was great that they did that and for me and I really appreciated it. So, you know, I'll take it. You know what I mean? I'll take it. If they don't come out with the Brimstone Jack Daniels brand, I'm cool. You know, so, you know, I try to brand my name everywhere I possibly can and, you know, hopefully it'll work. But if it's not there, it'll be somewhere else. So I've got a couple other things that I'm working on as far as that's concerned, but I'm not a huge drinker. So it's not like, the end of the world if I don't come out with the Brimstone liqueur. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, let me ask you about this. Now, you mentioned that, you know, you want to put your name everywhere. And I mean, like I said, Renaissance man, just zombie survival crew.
Ah, yeah.
Tell me about the zombie survival crew.
That is just crazy, man. What do you call it? I have a lot of friends in all different aspects of entertainment, and what do you call it? And I was asked to be a part of this the zombie survival crew. it's like Michael Rooker. If you guys watch Walking Dead, Mike Rooker, Norman Reedus, what do you call it? It's, oh my God, I'm trying to remember the names off the top of my head. You know, a bunch of people from True Blood and so forth. And Old Brim kind of fits within that whole crowd. And I know a lot of them, you know, like Norman and Mike. And, you know, I said, this just sounds like a good time. It sounds like fun. Why not get involved? And, it's kind of like, you know, how you've got those different groups that go to all the different conventions and, you know, either the cosplay groups or they're, you know, like the Star Wars groups or, you know, like the 501st and so forth. Well, it's the same type of thing, except they're kind of, you know, doing the whole, you know, what happens with the apocalypse? Who's going to help, who's going to protect the innocent from the walkers and so forth? And, you know, who's capable to do so. So I am actually one of the special forces people that they chose to help lead the world in a zombie apocalypse. So,
I mean, I've seen you powerbomb, you know, a guy like it's nobody's business. I mean, you were powerbombing guys before powerbombing was a thing. And so, I mean, if I wanted anybody on my zombie crew, it would be you for sure.
Yeah, I've been told that a few times and, I would, you know, let's hope that never happens to begin with. But if it does, you know, I will be leading. And if you are, you know, part of the crew and you do get infected, I'm sorry, but I will smash you into two. I don't care. I'm not getting bitten, and I don't trust anything that walks and's not breathing. So, you know, we're
that's just we're a rule of thumb, really.
That's a good rule.
Yeah. So you go to zombiesurvivalcrew.com, I believe, or .net. It's one of those. You can get that right off my website. Also, you could either scroll down to the bottom to Friends of Brimstone, or you can get that off of the top. I know there's a sliding bar. We're redoing the website, so. You know, bear with it. Everything will be working shortly. But those are definitely up there. You should be able to see that, no problem. And you can go right there. You could see they put my bio up on there. They made a bio for me, you know, with my bio. kind of mixed in. It's pretty cool. I thought it was fun. You know, I said to them, I said, okay, well, what's involved? Because, you know, I like to be involved with things if I'm involved with things. And they go, well, nothing. You don't have to do anything. I said, what? What do you mean you don't have to, I don't have to do anything? No, you just lend your name to it. I said, done.
Where do I sign?
I'm kind of having fun with that, and you know, I'll get involved in their things here and there. You know, when they do the writing on the website, or whatever. I've been starting to kind of like try to pop in when I can, and you know, it's fun. I mean, you know, hey, look, when I get to do stuff and you know, do silly things with friends that you know, people are totally into, I'm down. You know, hey, look, if you were asked to do something with Norman and Rooker, you know what I mean?
Don't hesitate.
You know, I mean, first of all, they're great guys. You know, I don't know if you've ever met them. You know, Norman's a very, very cool dude. And, you know, and Rooker's
hilarious.
He is freaking hilarious. I love Mike. Like, you don't even know. Like, he is just hysterical. Him and Lush, funny story. And so in San Marcos, we were doing an event out in San Marcos, and, it had to be like 3 a.m. And he's like, Rooker comes down. He'd already went back up to sleep, which we knew was not happening. He just couldn't stay away from us. It was funny. And he goes, I'm hungry. I want to go get something. So he starts walking out. So Lush goes, oh, screw this. I'm going with him because Lush can always eat. So he runs out. The two of these jabronis go down and you know, order from – they go to Whataburger, come back with this, like, huge bag of freaking food. And, at like 3-something, 4-something in the morning, meanwhile, we have to sign the next day, but they're sitting there and they're chowing down on this Whataburger at like all hours of the night and just hooting, hollering, drinking, having a blast. I mean, if I can tell anybody, if you have an opportunity to drink with Rooker, do it. He is hilarious. It will be hilarious. So, so Zombie Survival Crew, you know, you got Rooker, you got Redis, you got Brimstone, and, got a whole bunch of other really cool people involved. So definitely check them out, especially if you're a fan of zombies. I mean, everybody, the whole world is like zombie crazed right now. But if they really came, they'd be running like scared pieces of, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like you said, you like to brand yourself on everything. And that's, you know, that's something for fun. But you also do a lot of philanthropy work. You've done work with the Project Meridian Foundation, Stan Lee Foundation, the James Isaac Foundation, and RAD. You know, and that's a lot. I mean, you're a busy, busy man. How do you find time to help out with these charities?
It's not easy. It really is not easy. I tried. I was doing a lot more, you know, up until about a year and a half ago. You know, I try to do the Arthritis Foundation every year. I did them for 6 years straight, and this year I just couldn't make it to the event because I was out of town. I do, you know, for candle lighters, I do for, you know, for Dee Snider is a friend of mine. I do his Bikers for Babies every year. This year they switched it up from Bikers to Babies to, what was it? For Long Island Harvest, because obviously people that know, you know, Sandy came through, you know, knocked a lot of people out of, houses and, you know, killed family members and, you know, it was a horrible situation all around. So, you know, we wanted to give back to Long Island itself, you know, well, he wanted to give back and of course I do. So, I was obviously there to support. I changed my schedule around to come back home. And be here, for the event. And, that was actually about a week ago. So we definitely, I support that every year. I try to get involved in a lot of different things just because, first of all, you know, I feel the need to try to help out the people who can't necessarily help themselves. You know, these people who, you know, may or may not have been, Brimstone fans, but you know, they're fans of somebody and they're the people that help put us to where we are, you know, and the, you know, who, you know, so who would I be if I wasn't there to kind of give back? So I try to give back as much as humanly possible. Sometimes it's just not in the cards because it's just busy, you know, but, I try. Matter of fact, I've been trying to get onto a Celebrity Apprentice. It's funny because everybody I know has been on the damn show. I mean, you got Ferrigno's been on the show. What do you call it? D's been on the show.
Yep.
What do you call it? Oh my God, the list goes on. Like, you know, what do you call it? It's just like one of those things where I'm sitting here going, hello, you know, I know half your freaking cast, you know, and I do more philanthropy than most people. I said, I'd like to get on. You know, so what we're trying again. I mean, I do most of my stuff with Project Meridian Foundation. You know, I do with RAD, which is Rockers, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. The Project Meridian is, anti-trafficking. We actually did issue 8 of Brimstone and the Border Hounds, which came out recently. We did that, a story based around what Project Meridian does, and we involved them in it. So, a percentage of the comic, you know, actually goes to the charity. So, you know, hopefully we'll sell 1 million copies of that. You know what I mean? Get some money for the charity, because you don't understand what these guys do. They are a nonprofit foundation that, they send, like, these are the guys that are, like, the deepest, darkest of the military, you know, where you're talking black ops type people, Marines, you know, this, that, and the next thing. People that are very skilled at what they do. And they go overseas and in the States, because believe it or not, these things happen right around the block from, you know, from where you live, where I live, and so forth. At the end of the day, they send people overseas, and they save, you know, young girls, children, you know, and women in general who have been taken, you know, for you know, trafficking, child trafficking, sex slaves, you know, the whole nine yards. Believe it or not, that stuff does happen, and it happens more often than you would know. And you know, it's something that there needs to be a lot of awareness for it. And you know, I felt that it was something that was important to get involved in. Matter of fact, one of my daughters, my daughter is 16, one of her friends about a year and a half ago went missing, you know, and everybody freaked out. And she was in Georgia, and not Georgia, North Carolina, same difference. And they, what do you call it, they, she went missing, and she was gone for about 2 days, you know, and this is a very close friend of the family. And I called up Nathan, who is the CEO and, you know, chairman of Project Meridian. I said, listen, bro, I need you to do me a favor. The local police are not doing anything to help. They haven't gotten anywhere and so forth. Well, when Nathan got the information, he didn't even ask me for much. He said, what area? I'm on it. He made a couple of phone calls. Within 24 hours, she was back at home safe. That's what they do. Wow. So, and that is a true story, real deal, true story. You know, they found her, they brought her back, and he lit fire under people's rear ends that, you know, you don't get to by being, you know, somebody like you or I. It was like insane. And, they, like I said, they found her. She was actually, she was not abducted, but, you know, she was not there. You know what I mean? So, you know, if, you know, when somebody's in, you know, can't be found, you know, these guys can find them. So that being said, it was, after that, I got more involved, you know, and, I do try to push it as much as possible. Stan Lee Foundation, we're doing, well, I've been, doing a thing with Stan Lee. I know Stan for a while now. And, you know, POW Entertainment, and very supportive of everything that they do and he does. And, the foundation, I think is a fantastic foundation. Something that I wanted to do years ago. It's for literacy and kids with children. And I have gone, out of my way, I guess you'd say, to try to do more with them, simply because I think it's a great foundation. I love all the people that are involved in it, and I love what it's for. So much, in fact, that we have, with issue 9 that's coming out, of the Brimstone and the Border Hounds, and again, I'm sorry for talking for so long, but issue nine, it's a brand new crew on a brand new crew on issue 9. Sajad, who's the VP of Hound, and has been, you know, the originator of the crew, he's going to be working on a superhero style book that he's been wanting to do for a while. So, you know, he's been replaced by Jeffrey Gwynn, who's absolutely fantastic. And Jeff, and I, as I mentioned earlier, Jake Eisenberg on inks. I've got, Kevin Enhart and, Delphine, they're in France. They're doing the color work. And, Sean Reynolds is on, letters. And I actually wrote this issue. But inside the issue, we have a motorcycle that Brimstone gets. And, the motorcycle is actually being done. I came up with a great idea. You know, why not take this bike and make it into reality? So I have friends, like I said, all over, and I spoke with a good one of mine. His name is Sean Darby of Darby Customs. He used to do the XL motorcycle show and all that stuff on television. Nice. And I said, this is what we have going on. Do you think you'd be interested in, you know, kind of getting on board with this? He goes, Brim, say no more. You know, I want to do this. I think this is going to be great. You know, and, we said, why don't we create the bike? You know, build it out, and then, you know, it'll actually take it after a year of touring with it, take it and auction it off for charity. And we figured, what better than to do kids' charities? And I said, well, I'm going to do mine towards Stan Lee's foundation. And, he's going to do his half towards, Race, which is another children's charity. About what do you call it? It's anti-abuse in children. So what we're going to do is, we're going to take it. I'll do like D's run with it. I'm not going to ride it very often. It'll be like D's run. It'll be right out of the book. It'll be, you know, an actual, replica of the bike from the book. I'll do it at Sturgis, and then we'll have it. I think I'm doing Sturgis with it. I'll be doing the D run with it, maybe a couple other runs that are on the higher profile side. And then we'll probably do a certain, you know, try to do a television circuit with it to get awareness, you know, for the foundations and for the obviously for the, you know, eventual auction. And we'll have it at places like New York Comic Con. And, you know, if we're doing Wizards, we'll have it at Wizards. And, you know, I'm do Stan's Kamikaze. So I'll be there in November. So, you know, obviously it's not going to be ready that then, but we might make the official announcement for it then. But, you know, we'll have it at Kamikaze, and then we'll do like a big auction for it, after people have been able to see it and take pictures and so forth. So that's what we're doing for that. And, you know, the people over at the, Stans Foundation are very excited about it. They want to involve like the Border Pups into what they do. So, you know, like I said, we're very warm with each other, and, lots going on. I'll actually be signing with the Stan Lee Foundation at New York Comic Con. So anybody who is coming to New York Comic Con this year, I'm signing down the celebrity area. I'll be there from 12 to 1 on Saturday. Normally I do every day, so I might wind up doing every day down there. My official time is that time. But what do you call it? If you don't see me down there, you can find me upstairs at the Stan Lee Foundation booth, and, I'll be signing there, you know, on and off throughout the weekend when I'm not doing media and so forth. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, that's one of the really cool things that we're working on right now. You know, we really try to give back. Again, I've been trying to get on the Celebrity Apprentice, you know, maybe
we could push. Come on, everybody. Well, that's what we should do. We should go ahead and just try to push this as much as possible. You get enough buzz going, and I guarantee you they're going to put you on there. So,
that's what I do, and I have a Facebook page. I actually have a Facebook page, and I have it up on my website, and I have a couple hundred people on there, but it's nothing. I mean, it's just I don't have the time to sit and spend on promoting it, and you know, they know that I want to be on there. They know I want to be on the show, and I can guarantee you, dude, I'm in New York. I run New York, all right? anything that happens, if I'm on that show in New York, if they put me on, my seasonal one to be in L.A. or something. But, you know, but if you put me in New York with any of those tasks, I will run circles around anybody else that's in that season simply because I can do anything, you know, in New York City. I know everybody that you need to know, you know, in the city that will come through for me, you know, whether it's bodies to this, to that, to the next thing. And I deal with enough corporations that, you know, everybody will gladly put up a couple of bucks to help me hit some numbers. The only thing that I'd be worried about is the very end, the very last task, if I make it to the end, which I definitely think I would, is the last task, because if I'm going up against somebody who's an A-lister, you know, they have those big dollar pockets that I just don't have. So, you know, at the end of the day, as long as I'm raising enough money for a good cause, you know, I really don't care about the television time. I just think that it would be a good opportunity to raise some serious money for, you know, for my causes. Sure. So I'd like to go and play for either Stan's Foundation or for Project Meridian. You know, either or, I was going to do something where I didn't even choose a charity, and I would just go and play for random charities. You know what I mean? But I don't think they'll allow you to do that either. So,
you know, just the fact that you said you know enough people
that, you know, if you need to get rid of bodies, just right there, that sold me. I'm like, get this guy on the show. Because if he has that kind of pull, you know, he can do anything.
I try. You know, I can't do much though. I lied. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm lame. I sit here and do nothing all day.
It sounds that way. I mean, you know, we've only been in this for about an hour, and I've been bored to death.
No. Am I that bad? I must be a sucky guest.
I also want to mention that you're going to be appearing at MonsterCon in San Antonio,
yes.
September 27th through the 29th.
Yes.
And not only that, but we can eat you there, which is something
yes.
you posted on your Facebook, which that was great. And what is it that you have to say? It's a certain catch that you have to say to get a free cookie. It's a Brickstone Butterwinks cookie.
If you come up to me at MonsterCon in San Antonio and say, I want to get Brimstone Butterwinked, well, you're going to receive a free Brimstone Butterwinks cookie. And yes, oh, yes, you can eat me. Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. It will be very good. So September 27th through the 29th, I'm going to be doing this promotion with the amazing Mallory over at Butterwinks. They're based out of Florida. Fantastic. She is uber talented. I am trying to get this woman to do a couple of kids books and so forth also. We have a couple of really cool ideas because she's just very talented. If you see the cookies that she does, you'd be absolutely, you know, you'd just go crazy. She's just fantastic. So we have a deal right now, on the table that, you know, for a bunch of the different events that we're going to be doing, she's going to send a limited supply of cookies, custom Brimstone cookies, you know, to each event. And, we'll have, you know, whether it's 20, 30, whatever, while supplies last, we'll have something fun and different for the fans to come up and actually say to get a free cookie while the supplies last. So like the first 30 people in San Antonio that are going to come up to me and say, hey, I want to get Brimstone Butterwinked. You know, they're lucky I'm not making them do a dance too because these cookies are that good. They're going to get a free cookie. So we're starting it off at MonsterCon. So they'll be in MonsterCon. Then I believe the next one will be at New York Comic Con. I'm trying to remember each of the locations we're doing it. Let me see. Hold on. I'm trying to think. Bear with me. No. It's tough. I'm getting old. I've taken a couple of chair shots to the head. Yes, the next one is going to be at New York Comic Con. So I will have them on, I believe, Saturday at New York Comic Con. Then you can also get them at Alamo City Comic Con. That's October 25th through the 27th. Then I should also have them at Stan Lee's Kamikaze, November 1st through 3rd. I think I'm going to have them in Great Allentown Comic Con in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And the list will go on pending on how long we're going to do the promotion for. But if you check out, you know, the websites, whether it's houndcomics.com or the Butterwinks Facebook page or the Brimstone website, we will have all the information up there, you know, as we go along. Because we're going to have, like, a specific amount of cookies. We might have 10 at one. We might have 20 at another. We might have 50 at another. You know what I mean? So it really depends on which location and how much time there is prior. This girl does everything by hand. And it is just unbelievable. So anybody that does get a chance to check them out, Butterwinks, you know, you cannot lose. Check them out on Facebook, not on Instagram, and definitely check out the cookies when you come and see Old Rim. It's going to be delicious. Trust me.
Exactly. And now it's time for Fun with Wang, and this is the portion where we go ahead and test your knowledge, Brimstone, on all things trivia. So what I do is I turn over the show to Wang. Leave it all up in his capable hands, I'm sure, as he knocks out trivia questions with you. Are you ready to play?
This sounds so dirty.
this
sounds just so wrong, you know? Go ahead, I'm ready, let's go, let's do it.
It's Fun with Wang, and what we do is we ask you useless trivia questions. There's a point scale, maybe a prize at the end, we'll have to define that. But they all have to do with you and a little bit in your background. So, you ready to play, Brimstone?
I'm scared, but I'm ready to play.
All right, right up your alley. First question, Elvis Presley recorded Hound Dog in what year?
1967.
That is totally incorrect. It was 1956.
I was close.
You were within 12 years, so you get 1 point.
Okay. Shoot, I should have Google up somewhere. Okay, go ahead.
Since you're in the hounds, we'll keep going on with that theme. What is, according to the American Kennel Club, what is the most popular brand of hound dog in the United States?
The most popular hound dog in...
And see, it's sort of a trick question, I'll tell you. Because what they classify as a hound, you have to really think about it and go,
A Labrador Retriever.
That is incorrect. But it is it's a beagle. And a beagle is a hound.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is true. I'm not making this up.
So the most popular beagle in history, Snoopy, is actually a hound.
You are correct. That is a great way to look at that.
There you go.
Ah, and I just got an extra point for that, right?
You did. You got actually 7 extra points for that. So.
That's awesome. I kick ass.
Anytime you do cartoon trivia with Wikipedia trivia, you're right in it.
There you go.
Okay, you were talking about the Scoville scale a little while ago.
Okay.
Little known fact, and then we like to educate our audience as we're not the smartest group, but we like to give them tidbits they can tell their friends and parents. The Scoville scale was named after Wilbur Scoville. What was his occupation?
You think I'm that smart? Wait, come on now.
Way smarter than that, so we're giving you easy ones.
Okay. I totally know this too.
You do? Get out of here! You know this answer?
I'm not going to give it to you. I know this answer.
He was a pharmacist, right?
He was a pharmacist. That is correct.
That's correct.
Yes. Bonus points for having Google.
You see, negative points for actually mentioning that you had Google up.
I didn't use it. I was just saying. You know. All right. Next.
All right. Question 4 here. You spent a lot of time in the wrestling ring, but what is the standard dimensions for a wrestling ring?
Well, it depends. That's a trick question. You've got 16 by 16 and 20 by 20, and then you've got a bunch of other different sizes that are kind of like all over the place. WWE, I believe, standard is 20 by 20.
You are actually correct. A lot of the TV broadcasts use a 20 by 20, but there are, in the smaller venues, 16 by 16 and 18 by 18.
18 by 18, correct. See, I know my business somewhat.
Man, you are right there, you know.
Nice.
That's good. We'll give you 1,114 points for that.
Yes.
And finally, you are friends with Bumblefoot. He's a great guy. What does Bumblefoot represent, the name?
Oh, that's a chicken disease, a chicken foot disease.
Man, you are right on it. It is a bacterial infection that affects birds and rodents.
Yep, and actually, I'll take it a step further. He took the name because he was helping his wife, Jen, study for her veterinarian license. So, or a final, rather. So, yeah, that's... See, I know my peoples. I know my friends.
You know your people. Like you say, the fun with Wang is we do trivia about the guest. It's not about us. We're irrelevant. The guest is what's important. And you get your grandfather...
How are we irrelevant?
Yeah, we mean nothing. You get 4,211 points, and we don't have a prize. So
no, you win our patented email hand clapper, which basically what it is, it's my hand scanned and sent to you. Now, you were talking about patting yourself on the back earlier. Now you can pat yourself on the back with my hand. So what we'll do we'll send that to you via email. You print it out, you cut it out, you can put it on anything, you can put it on a popsicle stick, and just pat your own back with my hand. So really, you're a true winner here, Brimstone, because not everybody gets the ability to pat their hands on their back with me virtually.
Not everyone is successful when they're doing fun with Wang either. So you were very successful.
You were very successful, actually. This is, I think this is the most questions we've had correct since, you know, Wang actually started.
Ah, well, hey, I'm actually shocked that you came up with that many different questions for me. What do you call it? Yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed that. No more questions. Yeah. That was it.
No, that's it. You defeated me. You defeated the Wang. So, you know.
You left Wang limp on the corner crying. So you've basically done everything that you can with him. Now, Brim, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. You're an amazing guy. You're larger than life, just to say the least. And,
thank you. You trying to say I'm fat? That's messed up, man. So we become friends. Now I'm upset.
You've been amazing.
Hey, look, I can't do my job if you guys don't do yours. So it was a great partnership. Let's put it that way.
We want to thank you so much for being on. Not only have you educated our listeners, all the great things that you do, but it just goes to show that you can transition, and just as long as you change and change with the times, be relevant, which is what you've done. And I mean, you're an amazing self-promoter. A lot of people that are out there listening to this show that want to know how to get out there, how to get their ideas, you know, you have to push. You have to have that conviction, something that you have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it's just about believing in yourself, believing what you do, working three times harder than the next person. It's not easy to do this. Even with a name, even with promotion, even with, you know, the help of people in power, per se, it's still hard. It's still very hard. It's difficult. Every single day is an adventure. You've got people that think it's easy. Well, brother, it is not. You guys know your firsthand. You guys have your podcast. You have your the people. I'm sure you try to get sponsors. You try to get guests to come on the show. You're trying to gain an audience. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's very, very. It's difficult. And as you're trying to do it, there are millions of other people that are trying to do the same thing. So what makes you special? The way to make it and the way to really get your point across and grow is to try to identify with the people that you're trying to reach out to and try to be as real as possible, because there's a lot of fake people out there and there are a lot of haters and they're going to hate what you do. And, you know, the whole point is to be real and the people will see and the people will notice. And again, stay relevant. I mean, work hard and eat your vitamins and eat your vegetables. No,
eat your Butterwing cookies.
Right. You got to eat those Butterwing cookies like they're going out of style. Oh my God. I've gone through one already. I'm about to go through my other two in about 0.2 seconds. No. You know, for all those people out there, just to give a quick shout, you know, I have a shirt hopefully coming out with Bulky Boy soon. I don't know anybody who does follow me. They usually see me wearing Bulky Boy all over the place. You know, I do work with Bulky Boy, and I'm going to be having a Brimstone Bulky Boy shirt coming out soon. So keep an eye out for that. For those of you, well, obviously those of you know that I used to be a musician. I was a drummer for many years. Well, I actually just signed a deal officially with Serenity Custom Drums in the UK. We're going to be doing Brimstone custom snare drums. So, and I already got AJ Perro from Twisted Sisters, a friend of mine. He told me, actually, these bikers for babies. He said to me, he goes, I want one. I want one now. Where is it? Get it for me. it's going to be pretty kick ass. We've got our new team for Brimstone and the Border Hounds actually working on that for me to send over to them. So we're going to have custom snare drums. You know, we've got, for those of you out there that are RPG fanatics, because I'm sure you guys have a lot of those people that listen to the show, at least 3 out of the 6 play RPG, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they don't even see daylight, so.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, we have a Brimstone of the Border Hounds RPG coming out very, very shortly, probably another 3 to 6 months. That is short in this kind of business. So they're working on it with Troll Lord Games. It's, if anybody knows the Castles and Crusades brand through Troll Lord, that's what it's under. It's going to be Castles and Crusades, Brimstone of the Border Hounds, and that's going to be awesome, because I just have always wanted to get involved in something like that. Never had the opportunity to play Dungeons and Dragons, and I've had like all the Marvel and DC things, and I, you know, from the past, and I never played them. Had the dice and everything, and I just never did it. So I'm very excited. I'm actually going to sit and play the game and be Brimstone and get my ass handed to me. So I will be. I've got some jerky coming out based on the Sweet Heat Treat sauce, which is ridiculous. It's with the jerky connection, so that's going to be happening very shortly. And, you know, I mean, the list goes on. I have a lot of really cool things going on. If you haven't had the chance to go to houndcomics.com, you'll be able to see we have over 30 different creators that are under Hound now. It has blossomed into an amazing brand. Everything from comics to web comics to, you know, novels to, kids books, you name it, and we're doing it. So I definitely urge people to go check us out over there. You know, self-promote myself, entrancetohell.com. If you have Instagram, it's at The Real Brimstone. Twitter is at Entrance to Hell. All that information's on my website. You can just click it right up at the top and you're there. So I hopefully you guys will come follow me. Facebook.com/Brimstone. You know, I'm very easily accessible. Usually has Brimstone in the name, except when it's Entrance to Hell because, you know, somebody stole my damn.com. And that's,
man.
You don't even want, and meanwhile, they don't even do anything with it. You realize that? They do nothing with it.
They just want to nickel and dime you. That's why.
Yeah, well, they did this years. I mean, we're talking about right as the dot-coms, right when the internet first started to get, you know, really big, and
after Al Gore created it.
What? Oh man, it was Al Gore who created it. Oh, yeah,
exactly. That was a Wang question that, you know, but that was a bonus question.
I don't know who the hell freaking invented the internet, but whoever it was either the most intelligent person in the world or the damn devil. So it was one or the other. I haven't decided which one yet, but you know, I'm easy to find. You know, hopefully everybody will check me out, and hopefully, and I am running a contest, by the way, on my Facebook page, Brimstone. Facebook.com/Brimstone. You go there, you like my page, and you share the picture on there. What do you call it? You'll see the contest pictures posted right on the top. You repost, share, blah 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 blah. You can win a nice little Brimstone package. It's going to be picked by the randomizer. You're going to get you know, a bottle of my Sweet Heat treat. You're going to get a I believe my Hell Dust, a Brimstone of the Border Hounds eSport backpack, which will be in Walmart's October 20th on Walmart and Walmart.com. The eSport Hound Comics Brimstone of the Border Hounds backpack. So keep an eye out for that. And what do you call it? A signed 8x10 and probably my soul. I have no idea what else. Yeah. So we're gonna pick somebody random. It's easy, and there are a couple different ways to win some extra entries into the contest. If you come to see me at one of the events, you know, and you sign up for the mailing list, you know, you're gonna get an extra insertion into the contest. So, you know, I know Wang likes that because it says insertion. Wang.
Insertion.
There you go. And we're going to hook him up with butter. You know, what is it? Butt
Pucker
Butter.
Oh, Pucker Butt.
Pucker Butt. There you go.
Pucker Butt and Wang.
Pucker Butt and Wang. Let me tell you.
They could tour, you know. I mean, you'd be like the next Hall & Oates.
I thought you were going to say the next Hall & Nash.
Well, you know, that was actually, that's a good catch there. Thank you for that one. And well, not only that, but, you know, I don't know if, you know, you want to discuss it, but I know that you've also been talking with the Big Bang Theory people. You know, I follow you on Facebook and stuff like that. And it's hopefully that'll pan out for you. And if it does, I mean, you know, we can watch out for your stuff hitting the small screen.
Yeah. The Big Bang Theory thing, I was contacted by the guys over the Big Bang Theory over in the set decoration. You know, they're the ones that kind of put everything on set that makes it look like it's a real, you know, apartment or a real whatever, and not just the set design. So what do you call it? We spoke, and I had sent them some information a while back. I had somebody who requested it. I sent it back. Hadn't heard from them for a while, and then they started filming again. And I got a call, and he said, I'm so sorry for not touching base with you sooner. We didn't realize, you know, what you had over there. And I was willing to say, take me, please. So, yeah. You know, I
much so like I said, Wang is very on every Friday and Saturday night to any bar.
Well, you know, well, make sure you get a Brimstone Red while you're out there. But, you know, they asked me if I would, you know, send them some stuff and to use on the show. And I said, sure. Now I know how this goes. You never know what's going to happen, if they can use it or not. So I sent them the PDFs, and then I sent them just like a whole, two packages actually of just a bunch of the Brimstone product, and Hound product. So, they got it last week and I got confirmation that they're supposed to be using, and I say supposed to because again, anything can happen, but I did get the confirmation that they're supposed to be using the Brimstone of the Border Hounds backpacks, backpack in Kuthra Pali's apartment in one of the upcoming episodes, if not more. And, also the, issue 9 and possibly issue 8, the covers as, posters in the comic book shop. And I don't know about anything else right now. They might use more, they might not. They have everything from toys to the sauces and seasonings. They do like the sauces and seasonings. I don't know if they're going to use it. But hey, whatever they use is appreciated. It's a blessing. And, you know, even though it was said that it was going to happen, until I see it on television, I'm not, you know, I know the business.
Exactly.
So I hope it happens.
Well, yeah, we're going to definitely be keeping an eye out for you. You know, we'll send you and shoot you out anything if we watch it. I know there's a lot of dedicated fans who watch the show. So yes. We'll definitely give you a shout out if we see anything. We'll be watching for it. We'll DVR it and slow-mo it.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's awesome. Much appreciated. Yeah, I hope that they do it. It's funny because I was talking to Bumble because I sent them his sauces too. So he goes to me, he sends me a text back. He goes, I can lend them my Bumblefoot guitar if they want to use it for an episode. I was like, dude, let's get in first. but you know, he loves the show also. You know, we're fans of the show. We don't get to see anything while we're on the road, but you know, when we are home, you know, try to the DVR or the you know, the video on demand stuff, it comes in very, very handy. And you know, it's really cool to you know, get to watch the show with your family even though you're not there when it airs. So,
yeah.
So it might be on and I'll be in you know, God knows where around the country. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll probably be in Portlandia at the time.
There you go. Nice. Well, you know, first of all, I want to say thank you so much again. And it's been an amazing time with you. We're going to go ahead and provide all these links for you guys. You can check it out as always. And for Beach Bum Comics, I am Deadpool Speaks. And with me, as always, is the great Wang Brimstone. Thank you so much for being on.
Much appreciated.
Thank you for listening this week. And remember, just like always, we will be back next week with another great guest and more adventures from the land of Chimichanga Talk. So tune in next time. Same Deadpool time, same Deadpool channel.
You, seriously, go to the Facebook page, go to her Instagram, and check out some of these cookies. Like, she does these Disney princesses that are so freaking adorable, it's ridiculous. Like, and I'm a man enough to say these are freaking adorable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I wouldn't take that away from you. I wouldn't you know, judge you for it because I know that you'd boot me in the face.